Hi, everybody. Terry Brown at Bass Fan Radio. And with me today is Steve Kennedy. And, Steve, I guess I'm going to start calling you the Swim Bait King now. What do you think about that?
I had a blast throwing it, but it's something I'm trying to get off of now. It's almost addictive, and you can almost throw it to a fault. But we love them. They're incredible.
Well, you broke a record that I thought was going to stand maybe for a couple of years, but you went out to Clear Lake in California, over 122 pounds, and you just think about that. I mean, that's got to be something in your mind you'll never forget.
Oh, it was just incredible seeing all those fish. I mean, for days we were looking at them, and I couldn't figure out how to catch them. But, you know, we pulled out some of those bigger swim baits and started experimenting and went from 51st place to win. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, you talk about, you used a Bastrix, first of all, and I want to make sure folks know about that. I'll have you explain that bait a little bit to us. And then you went to an Osprey and a couple of other big swim baits, and talk about them, too, if you could.
Well, actually, I started out throwing a football jig. And, you know, it's not all that exciting, the swim baits, what everybody want to hear about, but I was catching 60 or 70 bass a day on a football jig with that little Konami double-tail trailer. But, you know, from there, every day I was trying to upgrade. And so, you know, day two, I went to that little Bastrix 6-inch minnow and, you know, caught almost 30 pounds on it. And then late in the day, I found some, you know, a big school of fish with some big ones in there. And I didn't want to catch the 3-, 4-, 5-pounders. I wanted one of those 8-10s. That's when I started experimenting with the Ospreys. And, you know, I finally got on that Huddleston. I had one about 9 pounds and held that Huddleston, and I missed him. But I went back the next morning, day three, with that big Huddleston, and I had 35 pounds in 30 minutes, and ran around to the next spot, and the second cast, I had one about 10 pounds. I broke him off, and, you know, after that, it was a struggle. I didn't have any more of those baits in the boat, you know, that's the only one I had, and I ended up coming back late in the day to that exact same spot. It was slicked over. And laying on the bottom was my bait. I mean, it was just laying there. I reached down there on my rod tip, hooked it up, and tied it on. Second cast, I caught one about 8 pounds, which I think I caught a 6-6 with that. So that's the one that put me over 40.
You got to think it's your day when you go back and you find your bait, right? I mean, you got to think, hey, I'm going to win here.
It's just one of those days. It was incredible in the first 30 minutes, an hour, and then it was a struggle most of the day. But, you know, I'm trying to cull 6-pound fish. That's kind of hard to do any time.
Well, you know, you're from a place where, you know, you're down in Alabama there, and you're from a place that there's big fish. But by the same token, not big fish like that. I mean, that lake's got to be awesome.
I've fished my whole life. The biggest bass I'd ever caught was an 8-12. I caught one down at Okeechobee, and I caught one in a pond here live bait fishing with shiners. But 8-12 is the biggest I'd ever caught, and I finally, you know, after the tournament, I went out there and caught one that weighed 10-6, my first double-digit fish. But out there, you're looking at 10 and 12-pounders all day long, and I have never in my life been anywhere on the East Coast that's like that. I mean, they're just, it's incredible how many big fish are out there, and, you know, if anybody ever figures out how to catch them, I mean, there's potential for a 150-pound bag out there.
It's amazing to me, you know, and you're talking about a lot of guys that can really fish. I mean, we're not talking about a bunch of weekenders. We're talking about guys that do this for a living. And you go out there and fish against them, catch 122-plus, and win the tournament going away. And then on top of that, you know, you were a rookie last year, which is kind of a misnomer because you're really not a rookie. You've been fishing for a long time. But you rookie of the year at Bass. Then you come out the second year of the Elite Series, and now you're doing well in the rankings. I mean, you're in the top 3 or 4 of the rankings, world rankings, and almost angler of the year again, and this has got to be fun for you. This is kind of like a party.
I've been having a blast. The schedule Bass put out especially is, I mean, they're putting us on the right lakes at the right time, and it's fun. It is an absolute blast, and, you know, I don't have a lot of the obligations that some of the other guys have, so I've really been having fun with it.
Well, you've got a wife that takes care of everything for you. Don't get, you know, Julia does a good job of taking care of everything for you, and you just recently replaced a 400,000-mile vehicle, and you got her something new. You got to be really feeling nice about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had an old Nissan Pathfinder, a 1992 model that we drove around the country the first couple of years, and we parked it out in the backyard for 3 years. We bought, you know, a big dually and run around with that truck camper, but we We bought a big motorhome, a 40-foot Wonder Lodge, and a big double-stack trailer. And we had that vehicle sitting out there that would fit on the trailer. So we, you know, after sitting out there for 3 years, went out there and hooked the battery up to it, and it cranked right up. But at Amistad, we had a few issues with it, and we traded up to a new red Jeep.
I want to make sure you know, I talk to her as I set these radio interviews up. I always talk to the ladies because they'll get the work done. You guys are, you know, just luck out and get a fish all the time. But I talked to her, and she said, you know, I got the top down. I'm kind of running around in my Jeep, you know. She felt pretty good about that.
Oh, she's loving it, especially when we were in Northern California. We went through Yosemite and, you know, up the coast there into Oregon, up through Redwood and all that. And we just... It's a fun vehicle, no doubt about it.
Does Louie get a spot in there, your dog?
He does, yeah. You have to tie him in the back seat to keep him in there. But
so you got him kind of tied in there so he doesn't jump out and some of those kind of things?
Yeah, he'll be out chasing squirrels or deer or something if he got the chance.
Well, when you won this tournament, your wife and Louie were there, and they got to come up on stage, which I think is the first time your wife has been up on stage with you, right?
Possibly on a bass event. She's been up there on FLW twice, I'm sure.
Well, you're going to have to take her more to the bass events up on the stage because that means you win, Steve.
Yeah,
I'm trying to help
exactly.
You out here.
That was the first win on the bass side.
Yeah, I'm trying to help you.
First of many.
I'm trying to help you out. I want you to, you know, have success. So you got to bring Julia and Louie both up there on the stage every chance you get.
Yeah. Well, they weren't at Clark Hill, and that's the worst finish I've had in 2 years.
Well, that's it. There you go.
Contributed.
Yeah, well, she does a lot of work for you. I know that. And I think a lot of the wives, you know, don't really get credit. I mean, you know, you talk about your wife, Julia, but there's a lot of wives out there that do the legwork behind the scenes that may not get credit. You know, the angler's out there doing the things he does, but... It's nice to have that support mechanism in the background, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. There's no way I could do what I'm doing without her support. I mean, just tell me to go do it. I mean, I had an engineering job making pretty good money, and, you know, for her to even allow me to go out and do this was a pretty big step. And then the support she gives along the way is just, I mean, that's incredible. There's no way I could do it without her.
Well, there's no question. Now, you've got a family of fishermen. You know, your dad, I knew from Federation days, Van, I think is his name, and he was a pretty good fisherman, pretty good stick in his own right. Is he still fishing?
He's still fishing, you know, the Bass Federation stuff, which kind of odd. We kind of flip-flopped sides here recently, but because he went with the FLW deal. But, he's probably one of the best guys in the Southeast, especially when it comes to fishing deep. Big crankbaits, Carolina rig, and, you know, big Texas rig worm. And you know, that's a big part of, you know, I grew up, I didn't really get to fish all the tournaments with him. I mean, we occasionally fished a team tournament, but, you know, we'd go out there on the weekends and practice with him, and then, you know, then he'd go get to catch him in a tournament. So I spent my whole life learning how to find fish. It wasn't until a couple of years ago that I really started fishing the actual tournaments, and we've been having a blast since.
Well, I want to mention that he was a Classic qualifier, and I don't remember the year, but he was a Classic qualifier as well, right?
Yeah, he went to the Classic in 1982, I think. So.
Yeah, you know, that's neat, that whole heritage of fishing that we've got here, and it's nice to have this family thing. I mean, it's nice to see a son follow a dad. And, I mean, Denny and Chad Brower, you look at those guys, you know, all the different Woo Daves, Chris Daves, some of the people that are out there are fishing. That's a neat heritage, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, around our house, I've also got a brother that fishes. He typically fishes those Fishers of Men deals with his father-in-law. But yeah, we can't hardly have a conversation around our house if it isn't about fishing. Occasionally a little Auburn football, maybe. But that's pretty much it. That's all we do. 5 days a week.
Bro. You're going to have some heated arguments this next year because Auburn and now Alabama with the new football coach Saban there, and that's going to be fun, isn't it?
I hope not. We need to make it 6 in a row.
the Auburn fan coming out in him right there. Well, Steve, you know, as things progress, I mean, it's really neat to see your career taking off and all the things that you've got going. I know you probably have a lot of people that will be ringing your doorbell with all the success you've had, but it's neat to see. It's a lot of fun. You have a lot of fun when you're fishing, and it's reflecting in your attitude, and that's really cool.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt we're having a blast. There's no way we can keep a day job and, you know, get to fish as much as we do. And just we're having a blast.
Well, you can always fall back on that engineering thing, get the slide rule out and, you know, do mathematical formulas and that kind of stuff. But I think I'd rather fish, too.
I'd rather go fishing.
I'm with you there. Thanks for being with us at Bass Fan Radio, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Terry Brown. This has been Bass Fan Radio.